you'll be attracted by the front cover of the latest release by my next guest. His new book, Ultimate Price, The Value We Place on Life. Let's talk to you and your latest release when it comes to this exploration of the injustices that result when price tags are placed on human lives by business, governments, and individuals, and, well, shows us how to fix this broken system. So good morning to you, Howard Stephen Freeman. I introduce you as a data scientist, health economist, and, of course, your day job for sure, teaching at Columbia University. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Multitasker in a good way, and of course, the author as well. So here we go, where we talk about your latest release. And, well, I often ask, describe the front cover.
Oh, boy. Well, we've got a human, and we've also got those little symbols they have on the side of your checkout whenever you're trying to buy something. And it's all about connecting a person with a price tag, the dollar figures that are placed on human life.
Hence some of the theme of your latest work. I see you enjoy acrylic painting and travel, so we'll talk more about that. Howard, why did you decide to write this book now?
Well, you know, I was first very interested in it after the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund happened, and it sort of really struck me how in that fund, which was government money, the lives of some of the victims were valued at $250,000, and the lives of others were valued at over $7 million. And an injury was even more, $8 million. And it really challenged me to say, well, why? What was driving those valuations? And then I continued digging into this more and realizing that dollar figures are ubiquitous. Companies are constantly putting dollar figures on people's lives. Courts are. And this victim's compensation fund was really what just triggered that initial interest. And then I've pursued this in a lot of my work over the years.
Your goal is to shed light on the opaque and unfair ways that price tags are placed on our lives. Why is this so important that we all understand this?
Well, there's a fundamental principle underneath this, which is the lives that are more valued are more protected, and lives that are less valued are less protected. And it's important to push back when there are these inequalities. For example, if you go back a number of years, the Environmental Protection Agency proposed valuing the lives of older citizens less than younger citizens. They put a price tag on saving older people's lives that was less than younger. It was termed the senior death discount by people who opposed this policy. And the public was livid, and they challenged it. The EPA backed off, and today all regulatory agencies use the same dollar figure as the benefit for saving a human life, no matter whether you're rich or poor, old or young, where you live in the United States, it's the same value.
One of the topics explored in your book, Ultimate Price, Howard, what can we do when the price tag is wrong? Can you expand here?
Well, it's really this whole idea of, you know, we are not 100% dependent on technocrats, whether they're economists or financial analysts. As a public, we have the opportunity to understand what are these price tags, what are these figures, and when we feel like there's something wrong, to protest, to challenge the experts, challenge the government. The example I gave with the EPA back, that was during Bush 43's administration, is a great example. The public challenged it, said this was not fair, and the agency backed off on that. We have other situations where in civil courts we see price tags routinely placed on life with enormous ranges. And as a public, often we need to challenge what the results are because there's gaps in the laws, and these laws are very state-dependent. If you'd like, I can give you some examples from New York or California.
Yes, would you give us two?
Sure. Well, one example in New York involved a woman named Cheryl Thurston. She was severely handicapped and needed to be assisted when taking a bath. The care facility failed to do that. Cheryl slipped into a coma and within 24 hours had died. Her sister sued the care facility. The judge deemed that the care facility was negligent. They had caused the death of her sister, but the judgment was for $0. And the judge even said it was a tragic injustice of the state law that allowed the loss of a human life to be worth nothing because Cheryl was costing money. She wasn't making money. And Cheryl never awoke from her coma. So in the judge's mind, Cheryl never suffered. Now that is a $0 judgment, no value on human life. And the judge even said, had Cheryl been chattel, like a cow or a chicken, then there could have been some money given to her sister. Contrast this with, for example, the high-profile case of O.J. Simpson. In the civil court, the judgment was for over $30 million for the loss of two lives. Now, California's law is very different. Judgments are linked to how much money the defendant is expected to have and be able to pay. But clearly, these two victims in the California case had lives that were valued far, far more than Cheryl Thurston in New York. $0 versus $30 million for two lives.
Howard Stephen Friedman with us. Ultimate Price, the value we place on life. Let's talk a little bit about your criminal justice chapter. Discusses what? How justice is not blind and that who the victim and criminal are influence criminal investigations?
Absolutely. And, you know, we can start with the statistics and then go to the individual. And the statistics are somewhat painfully shocking in that you take an example that we probably are well aware of, homicides, where if the victim was white and the murderer was black, there's a far, far higher rate of capital punishment than in situations where the races are different. So race is clearly playing a role in who, in the punishment. But vehicular manslaughter is a powerful example. Vehicular manslaughter is a somewhat random activity. Someone gets run over by a car accidentally and dies. Yet, the judgments are very much dependent on who the victim is. If the victim was unemployed or black, then the judgments on average are far less than if the victim was someone who was wealthy. Now, that's a great example of where justice is clearly not blind. But if we dig further into it and take individual cases, you really can see how this comes up. And there was a famous case that happened in New York a few years ago. There was a young woman, she was jogging, Karina Vetrana, and she was tragically raped and murdered. At the peak of the investigation, the New York Times reported that about 100 detectives were working on her case. Now, every year in New York City, there's over 300 murders, but that one case drew the attention of about 100 detectives. Why was her case deemed so much more important than those 300 or other cases that year? It really reflects the idea that for some reason, and maybe it was the media attention associated with her case, it was valued much, much more than the other cases.
Lastly, Howard, what do you have to say about today's reality of COVID-19?
Well, this is a tragic situation, which, you know, some of this could have been prevented, but I think inequalities are facing severe situations. All across the United States, we're seeing those who are poorest and minority groups, Hispanics and blacks, are more at the forefront. Many of them, the chances of getting sick or infected much higher. It's also challenging in terms of the economics. Some people can work remotely, many people can't. And so we're seeing from a disease perspective, vast inequalities. We're seeing the economic impact is differential with those who have jobs that'll enable them to work remotely, are able to retain their jobs and their incomes, whereas we're having this tremendous burst in unemployment. Meanwhile, people are trying to calculate if and how they can open up the economy. And when they do that, what's the trade-off? The trade-off in terms of some burst in economic growth and a corresponding increase in risk of more infections, more deaths. So that trade-off is being computed right now. A similar trade-off that regulatory agencies think about when they do their own calculations.
What's your take-home message, Howard Stephen Friedman?
Take-home message? Be informed, be aware, and get involved. If you see something doesn't seem fair to you, voice your concerns. Bring it to your politician's attention. Challenge it. Experts are doing their best, but the information is often incomplete, and we all have our own intrinsic biases. So feel free to challenge that information.
Great. Ultimate price, the value we place on life. Howard, how do we find out more information?
Well, you can find out more on my website, howard-friedman.com. Additionally, you can order the book, Ultimate Price. If you just Google Ultimate Price, you'll find it at Amazon and, of course, at many local bookstores. So to the extent you can support a local bookstore, please do. They're all suffering right now.